Chapter 33, as our pastor was preaching this morning, the Lord laid this thought on my heart, speaking of those things that he said that the God had just moved them out of his ways, and those things that God did that he did not see coming, some great mighty things. The Lord laid this verse on my heart, and I will just give you what the Lord's given me, and we'll see how he applies it to our heart, to our church, and to our lives. I think tonight you'll see this is a simple message, but has a life-changing meaning. The meaning of this text can change us as a group of believers, as individuals, as Christians, as Brother David said, to make us worthy of that name. The book of Jeremiah, we'll begin reading verse number 1 of chapter 33. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah a second time while he was shut up in prison, in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah. We know quite a bit about Jeremiah the prophet. He was a prophet with a broken heart. We refer to this prophet, this great man of God, as the weeping prophet. He preached with a trembling voice. Jeremiah, he preached and he prophesied with tears in his eyes. For the message that he had to deliver was one of destruction, one of defeat, one of desolation. And he preached, and he was a priest that was commissioned by God, a prophet that was approved of God. Yet his preaching and all of his prophecies and all of his proclaiming of the Word of God, Jeremiah never had one convert. He was rejected by his people. Jeremiah was a man that was hated. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was put in stocks and bonds. And he was charged with being a traitor, all for preaching the Word of God. Tradition tells us that after the remnant fled the homeland and they fled to Egypt, that Jeremiah was stoned by his own people. Jeremiah's message was an unwelcome message. It was one that was rejected by his peers, by his people, and by the nation as a whole. There's two key words in the book of Jeremiah. As you study the book of Jeremiah and this great prophet, this great man of God that had a burden for his people, that had a burden for God to restore one more time, you'll see the word Babylon is mentioned. It has the idea of worldly, of carnality, of going against the things of God. And it's mentioned 164 times in the book of Jeremiah, more than all other times combined in the Word of God. This word Babylon is mentioned. And when you start focusing and centering around Babylon, the things of the world, the carnality and what the world has to offer, you'll find the second word that's mentioned, and that's backsliding. We see backsliding. The word is used 13 times in Jeremiah. It's used 3 times in Hosea and once in Proverbs. So Jeremiah is saying, as we go to the world, as we go to those things that pull us away from God and those things that represent carnality and man will begin to backslide. And that's what happens in the book and the life and the prophet here. He sees a nation that's turned from God. They did not listen to God, and God sends judgment. He sends the Babylonian, the Chaldeans, to come and bring them into captivity. I'll give you 3 points tonight, and we'll see how the Lord leads. But I see that Jeremiah, first of all, has some great and terrible circumstances. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of prison." We see King Zedekiah was the king. He was a king that put Jeremiah in prison, not for criminal activity. Jeremiah was not placed there for criminal trespasses or breaking the law, but he was put in prison for preaching the word of God, for saying that Jerusalem, for saying that the king would come and that Jerusalem would fall and would be destroyed. You see, it was a message from God. It was a message from the Lord that got Jeremiah put and thrown into prison. This king, he did not like the message. He did not like what Jeremiah had told the people. It was a message of defeat, a message of destruction, a message that they would have to surrender. You know, there's some things in our lives that we need to surrender, that we need to give up, that we need to submit to the Lord, that He can bring us out of captivity. But I see here it was a message of defeat. Hey, King, hey, Jerusalem, even though you fight fearlessly, even though you fight with great fear and with great respect, even though you're trying hard to defend, Jeremiah says, you will not succeed. It will be a message of destruction. And Jeremiah, in our text, he finds himself in prison. All those other prophets in the day, they were telling the king that, King, everything would be fine. They were saying to King Zedekiah that everything would come to pass, that Jerusalem would not fall, that this king's endeavors would be successful. Yet they found themselves promoted. They were paraded and they were praised by the king and by the people. But yet the man of God, this faithful man of God, he finds himself in prison. I want to submit to you tonight that Jeremiah was a faithful man of God. He was obedient. He was doing his best to serve God, yet his circumstances finds himself in prison. Circumstances should have been different. These circumstances should have had a different outcome. They should have said, we heard the word of the Lord and we're repenting. We're returning to God. We're going to seek God's face. We're going to seek Him in prayer. We're going to repent and once again serve God. Yet Jeremiah, circumstances finds him in prison. The Bible says he had to be lowered down by cords. He was down in the mire. It tells us that he was given one piece of bread daily from the breaker's bread. He was a man that was in the mire, the muck, in prison. He was starving, and his circumstances find him in a very desolate place. I begin to think about many of your circumstances and the children of God, these ones that are here tonight and come faithfully to the house of God, the circumstances that you face. There's been many of you that you have been faithful to serve, yet sickness and disease and cancer finds your body. It's a terrible, terrible circumstance. Many of you have been obedient to our master, but yet, like Jeremiah, you find yourself down in the muck and down in the mire. Many of you have been faithful to serve the Prince of Peace, but yet there's something that has you in prison. Did not Job say that man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble? We all have trouble. We'll all have circumstances. We'll all have challenges and trials. But Jeremiah, I see this man of God was faithful. He never wavered. He never backtracked. He stood firm. He never backed down. He had something inside of him that was greater than his captivity, that was greater than his circumstances. Jeremiah said, but his word, that was God's word, was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. You know, tonight as born again believers, those that are redeemed and quickened and made alive, we not only have the word of God, but we have something greater than Jeremiah had. We have God himself, God the Holy Ghost, living inside of us, directing us. He's living inside of us. I'll begin to think about 1 John when John said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We too, like Jeremiah, church, must not waver. We must not backtrack. We must not retreat. We must be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, even though our circumstances may be desirable. The circumstances that he faced were terrible. They were ones that should have had a different outcome. Yet Jeremiah finds himself in prison. Dottie Rambo, she was walking along a Florida beach. The night before, there was a great storm, and as she walked upon this sandy beach, the sand had been upturned and had been disturbed. She saw driftwood laying all around. Seaweed was all about the seashore, and she said even in the waters, there was white caps still breaking. The Lord spoke to her, and she began to pen down these lyrics. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rage, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Jeremiah finds himself, his circumstances finds himself in prison, yet he's sheltered and he's trusted that he's safe in the arms of God. He's secure in his presence. It was suffice for him knowing that the Lord of all glory was there all along. These circumstances that Jeremiah finds himself in were not desirable. But I see, number two, the comfort that the Lord gives. Verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he's yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time. You know, when God speaks, he's not obligated. He does not have to, but I'm glad our God, our Lord, our Savior desires to speak to us. But I notice, who is it that secures this comfort? He says, it is the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. Jeremiah, this one that he finds himself in his circumstances, he finds comfort in the very maker and the former of heaven and earth. Jeremiah finds comfort in the very maker and former in Jerusalem and in Zion. Jeremiah finds his comfort in the very maker and former of Jeremiah himself and of you and I. He finds it in the maker and the former tonight of the founder of this church, our Savior Jesus Christ, the one that bought this body believers. Jeremiah finds the comfort knowing that this one is with him. He finds this comfort knowing it is the Lord. We can find that comfort tonight, knowing that it is the Lord. It is him that formed us. It is him that made us. And it is him that will speak to us in our circumstances. Not only in, but I notice here our Lord. We can find a comfort in the word of this Lord. I begin to think about the things that Jeremiah had possessions of. He had no finances. You see, Jeremiah's finances would have left him bound. Jeremiah didn't have lands and homes and bank accounts and portfolios, for they would have left him still in prison. Even Jeremiah's family and friends would have left him in bondage. But in his bondage, in his prison, in his captivity, in Jeremiah's heartbreak, he found comfort in knowing that it was the Lord God by his side. The things that people, we so often try to find comfort in will leave us comfortless. We can rest assured tonight, Pastor, that this Lord of all glory, this one that Jeremiah finds comfort in, has our best interest in mind. I placed just a few minutes ago in my notes, the place that we're in, it may confound us, but this Lord, he'll comfort us. This people that we may come in contact with will constrain us and repress our joy, but this Lord that Jeremiah is speaking of will comfort us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, He, this Lord, is the God of all comfort. He said, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that which are in any trouble. I wonder tonight, are you a comfort to people around you? The trouble and the trials, the circumstances they face, do you bring comfort in your words, in your actions, in your deeds, or just your presence? Do you bring comfort? I began to think about that young man and young girl that had to bury their mother so unexpectedly. This young mom who was vibrant, full of life, died unexpectedly, and all their heartache and all their tragedy and their terrible circumstances, they had to place her in the ground. That night, as the dad began to go to bed, he heard a knock at his bedroom door, and it was the young girl. She said, Dad, can I sleep with you tonight? He said, yes, honey. As he made her place beside him there in the bed and turned out the light, just a few minutes later, she feels the dad nudge him, and she said, Dad, will you turn toward me? He said, honey, it may be dark, and I'm facing you, and you can't see me, but I can see you. You know, tonight, our circumstances, it may be dark, but we have a God, we have a Lord that's facing us, that's looking at us. We may not see Him, but you can rest assured we're in His sight. He's beholding us, and He's looking at us with His best interest. The comfort that Jeremiah finds, this Lord, this Savior, the God, the Maker, the Former of all things, the Established of everything, even though we can't see Him, I'm glad He sees us. Jeremiah says, it is the Lord is His name. That alone should be our comfort tonight. Jeremiah tonight, he finds himself in terrible, terrible circumstances. He finds great comfort knowing that God, this Lord, the Maker, the Former, the Establisher of all things is with him. But I see thirdly, the Lord gives him a command. Verse 3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Lord tells Jeremiah, he commands, it's a mandate from the Lord. He says, call unto me. The word call, it means to call out. It means to cry for help. It also means to read and to recite. It means to proclaim. Jeremiah, in his troubled circumstances, he's in prison, he's in the dungeon, he's in the mire, he's starving to death, the land and the city's going to be desolated. And what are you going to do, Jeremiah? He's going to call unto the Lord. Do we have a desire tonight? My desire tonight, as our pastor was preaching this morning, is the little ones. He was talking about the little ones. My desire tonight is that the Lord would fill this church with little ones, with young people, with middle-aged people, with elder people alike that would want to serve God and to praise God and to worship God and to follow God and to reach out to a lost and dying world. And as a congregation, we can be focused on Christ and His glory and honor. That's my desire. How are you going to get that, Pastor? We're going to call out to Him. Do you have a determination tonight that's dwindled? That fire that Jeremiah says that was shut up in his bones. Do you feel like you're in a rut? You're just going through the motions. That you used to be on fire for God, but now you can't feel it. It's dwindled and it's not there anymore. Why don't you call out to Him? Do you have a difficult situation or a difficult sin in your life? A sin that you can't seem to break and you can't keep seeming to go back to. Why don't you come tonight and call out to Him and ask God to help you. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you get over that sin. How about a disturbance in your life? Maybe your family, marriage, your friends, Whatever that disturbance is, we can call out to Him. How about a distress? Call out to Him. God invites Jeremiah. He invites all others to come to Him, to call out to Him in a faith-filled prayer. Even as judgment was at the door, that King Nebuchadnezzar was coming to get the remnant of the people and carry them back to Babylon, the houses and the city would be destroyed, God gives and speaks a word of hope. He speaks a word of invitation. He speaks a word of faith to Jeremiah, to Jerusalem, and to Fletcher First Baptist Church, that all we need to do is to call out to Him. How could the Lord answer him if he never asked? How could this God, this Lord, reply to Jeremiah if Jeremiah never initiated a conversation? Jeremiah, he's prayed. But the Lord's saying, you must pray again. Jeremiah's asked, but he must be constant in his supplications. I began to think about the psalmist David. In Psalms 2, verse 8, the Bible says to David, he said, ask of me and I will give thee. Our text, it's not implying this name it and claim it. It's not implying what this charismatic sect of people are teaching and preaching. But it's telling us if it's for God's glory, if it's for God's will, if God will be magnified, if we ask and we not ask amiss and we not ask it for our own lust, that He will answer. I believe He'll answer us. And when He does answer us, I believe we'll be amazed. Verse 3, call unto me, I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says, I'll shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's my prayer, Pastor, that God would show us and reveal to us some great and mighty things. We've heard about pastors and preachers of old, and we've heard about God moving in old revivals, Brother Justin, and how it was of God, and it could be none other than God of all glory. We've heard of those, but I believe as a congregation here at Fletcher, we need some of those ourselves. He'll show us some great things. The word great, it's the word to enlarge. It's the word great in magnitude. It's the word to be distinguished. He's saying that these things that'll be magnified and grown and will be great, he said, you'll know them not. He'll say that the only way you can describe it, only way you can tell about it, is saying it was of God, it was by God, it was Him, and to God be the glory. It's a simple message with a meaning that will change our lives. That no matter our circumstances we find ourselves in, we can find comfort knowing the Lord is there. And He gives us this mandate. He gives us this command that, church, if we'll just call upon Him, and it's for God's glory and to magnify Him and to see the lost saved, that He will answer thee. But the last thing is the challenge. You know, if we had a friend or if we had someone in authority that had riches and possessions and had unlimited resources, and they'd said, Gunn, if you need anything, just let me know. How easy it would be to pick up the phone or just to send them an email or text and say, I need this or I need that. How much more the God of all glory, He's desiring to speak with us and to talk with us and commune with us and provide with us. So what is the challenge? Why don't we come to God? Why don't we call unto Him? Why don't we seek His face and say, God, it's for Your glory. We're asking it for Your honor. We're asking that You'd be magnified. You show us some great and mighty things. That's the challenge, to call upon Him. Not just tonight, not tomorrow, but all week, all month, the rest of the year. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. A simple message with a life-changing meaning. Miss Buchanan, let's all stand tonight. That's my burden. That's what I believe the Lord had me to tell Fletcher First Baptist Church. The challenge, the command to call upon this God, this Lord. Whatever your need is tonight, whatever your circumstances, He's here. Call upon Him, and I will answer thee.